From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. Another victory. Chiefs are now 8-1, headed back to Kansas City and taking on Arizona next week. Probably not the score you wanted, because the Browns scored a little bit more than you would want. But it's hard to really get too angry about the final outcome.
Yeah, I don't know. They pretty much scored exactly what I said they were going to score.
Yeah, well, one of the scores shouldn't have counted, but...
And folks, you can find that on Chiefs Digest. And luckily, we have, once again, fresh from the post game, Matt Derrick's with us from Chiefs Digest, having just talked to a bunch of folks. How are you, Matt?
Hey, not too bad. Yeah, I was. Hey, if it wasn't for that garbage touchdown, I think I can't remember if I settled on 38 or 35 to 12. I would have been okay with that.
I'm still trying to figure out. And was it addressed at all, Matt, the strip sack that Ford got taken away from him?
I have not seen it. I do not know if there was a pool report that came out after the game today where they would have asked about that with the officials. The call on the field was that it was offsides, which would suggest that they thought that he was lined up offsides. It wasn't just encroachment jumping off. Looking at the replay, I mean, man, it looked like he jumped at just the right time. I mean, it looked like he timed it incredibly well. Maybe his helmet was over the line of scrimmage. That normally doesn't get called, but it didn't look like it was a bad play. I mean, I'm still a little lost for why they flagged that one.
Well, and I never saw the flag hit the field. So
right, that was my thing.
And the announcers, and the thing that annoyed me about it was the announcers really never went back and tried to show anything. They didn't really talk about it. It just kind of got skipped, and you're sitting there going, that's a huge play. Why aren't you showing this?
Yeah, it was a very late flag on that one, and good grief, yeah, that entire drive, because then you had Derek Nnadi with the another penalty that gave him the first down on their fourth down try, yeah. So you take back either one of those penalties, and yeah, you can wipe off a Browns touchdown off the board. I mean, penalties kept alive a couple of these scores that the Browns had. I mean, without penalties, good grief, this would have been 35-9, depending on how Greg Williams decides to go for two-point conversions or not, or chase points all day long, but it would have been ugly.
Well, and, later in the game, Hitchens got called for a personal foul, which, I'm sorry, I thought was a joke, too. All he did was knock the ball out of the guy's hands after the guy kicked him in the face.
Yeah, that seems like a little bit of the second guy that retaliates gets the flag and everything like that. It's still, right. You can't retaliate though. I mean, that was the thing. I mean, in that situation, you just kind of have to eat it and everything because you're off the field. I mean, unless they could go for it on fourth down, but you want them to try and do that. That's a low percentage shot. But yeah, you just can't do that.
Well, besides that, it was an ugly game in terms of penalties. But the only other thing that concerned me in terms of being ugly was what happened to Sammy Watkins' foot. Do you have any updates? How'd he look in the locker room? Is he walking around?
Yeah, he was limping a little bit after the game. Andy Reid said that he tweaked his right foot a little bit. They did work on him on the sideline. He tested it, obviously came back into the game, so he was feeling well enough for that. We'll see if this is one of those injuries that, Monday or Tuesday, if he's more sore than maybe he is today. But he was limp a little bit. It was not overly wrapped. They didn't do anything to him after the game. He was dressed as normal and everything. I didn't see that when he was putting his shoes and socks on, I didn't see any additional wrap. So we'll see. They're not treating it as a serious issue at this point. And obviously he went back into the game, but it does worry you that maybe it might be something that's just, sore and tender and could give him trouble for a while.
Well, and with that thought, the question I have is it worth really him even playing next week? Obviously, we're a ways away from that to figure it out. But to me, I don't think you play him next week if he's not close to 100%. I mean, obviously, everybody's dealing with nagging injuries at this point in the season. But I don't think he's a player that you need against the Cardinals. It does change your offense, but I think it also allows you to get other things done and use other players.
Well, looking at today's game as an example, I think the Chiefs are kind of in a mode right now where if it's an injury that they don't think is going to get any worse with playing, they're okay with going ahead and playing. I mean, Anthony Hitchens is a great example today. you know, hey, left the game at one point, came back in. You know, that rib injury isn't necessarily an injury that you think is going to get worse, that you can take a hit and it's going to get, you know, suddenly something's going to happen, but it's just going to be difficult to play with. Tyreek Hill, I thought, was probably more of a situation, especially when he came back to the sideline and they were working on his upper part of his right leg and everything, and it certainly seemed like maybe they were just doing some treatment on that groin injury that he had. That is an injury that you can kind of tweak, but they kept him out there. I mean, they did limit his snaps a little bit, not a ton, but there at the end of the half, he did run a route downfield and then came off the field for some rest. They sent DeMarcus Robinson back out there on the next play. So, you know, with these injuries, I mean, you know, the Chiefs are not treating anything right now like, you know, that they need to rest guys. I mean, other than, you know, Houston's, which we know was a little bit more of a, you know, severe injury. Zombo's is a little bit more of a severe injury. Those are injuries that you can't play with. So that's why those guys are out. But the other guys, they've been continuing to work them. So they're not really, at this point in the season, they're not babying any of these injuries. I mean, if there's things that they think the guys can play with without getting worse, they're going to let them play.
Well, and I think that's the significant thing, because I thought Hitchens was even suboptimal for himself today. And I want to know your opinion, because to me it looks like stubbornness on the part of both the player and the coordinator to leave him in there when I thought Ben Neiman showed that he had the bases covered for the most part in the short number of snaps he was in.
Yeah, you know, I think you could have, I mean, very well have, you know, just given him more of a day off and everything. But hey, that's Anthony Hitchens. I mean, a lot of that is on the player that he does not want to come off. And if you got a player that you feel like is healthy enough to play and isn't going to make the matter worse, and he says, hey, I want to play, don't take me out. You know, the Chiefs generally reward that. I mean, they generally stick with their guy, let him do what he wants to do. So I don't know whether you necessarily fault the player, you fault the defensive coordinator, you fault the head coach, the training staff. I mean, there's probably a lot of fingers you could point at that's in that situation. But Anthony Hitchens wanted to play. So, you know, it's hard to take him out. And I will say that, yeah, I mean, Ben Neiman and Dorian O'Daniel, which I finally managed to say that correctly.
Well done.
Daniel O'Dorian. So I'm very proud of myself. Thank you. Please leave some comments about that one. They had some up and down moments. O'Daniel got beat on one play a couple of times and, you know, missed a tackle. Neiman in some pass situations looked a little lost at times. You know, Ragland was out there kind of directing him, making sure that he was in the right coverage and where he needed to be. So, you know, when Hitchens isn't out there, it's not as clean. I mean, those guys can make some plays, and especially, hey, they might be a little faster, a little stronger right now, because that's an injury that's painful to play with. I mean, even though you can play with it and it's not necessarily going to get worse, it's painful. And, you know, Hitchens is out there trying to game through it and everything. So, yeah, you might have missed a little bit of performance, but those guys are still learning it too. And I think we saw a little bit today just that. I mean, you know, some plays that maybe they missed just not having that experience and veteran savvy.
One
follow-up. I don't want to make it sound like this is guilt that needs to be passed around, because they got what they wanted. This is what Brett Veach was looking for. They wanted a tougher defense, and this is an example of it.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. I mean, you get what you ask for. I mean, if you wanted a tougher defense, you got guys that don't want to come off the field, and you know, you're going to have to drag them off if you want to take them off. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, it's what you want to see. So, you know, you may not like the idea that those guys are out there playing and everything in some situations. Maybe you like the team to give them a break, but that's the guys you asked for, and now you got them.
Well, I will say I understand that Hitchens wants to play and he doesn't want to come out of the game. But the thing I would say is that if he is being a detriment, and in some senses I think he was a detriment, he just didn't look like himself. He couldn't get off blocks. The running touchdown by Nick Chubb, I think if he's healthy, he makes that play, or at least gets it to where it's really close to not a touchdown, because he's able to take on the blocker better. Obviously, that's just me. That's just my opinion. What I will say is I do like seeing him being willing to tough it out. But at the same time, you know, a game like this, you know, when you get up two scores, there's no reason for him to be in the game. You put, you know, Neiman in and you put O'Daniel in and you give him the opportunity to learn, because I think that's really helped Speaks this season. But let's take a quick break and let's come back and actually talk about the way the offense played in the first half.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Go lay down some cash and win big today. We would only recommend a service to our listeners that's been good to us. That's why we're urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Go join MyBookie now, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Pat Mahomes had a career high in passing yards today with 375 yards. He was over 200 yards or right at 200 yards going into the second half. I think he looked very good in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, throwing out that last drive because it was just a garbage town Hail Mary kind of play in that interception. He was absolutely perfect, perfect passer rating and everything. I mean, that was just a clinic in the first half. Three touchdown drives, and you know, hey, maybe if they don't get that bizarre penalty on the grounding play, they probably might even be able to get a field goal out of that last drive. The interception was just kind of a forced situation and everything, so I'm not going to don't pin that on him. That's just what it is. But that was as efficient as you can get, especially with the penalties. And adding in that first drive of the first half, it's 65 yards in penalties on offense today that set him back. And you know, hey, that helps you get to 499 yards of offense because you got to get that 65 back. But they did. I mean, on also all those drives, they got those yards back, and you know, being able to erase those mistakes, being able to erase those penalties, that's an incredible thing for an offense to do. I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, especially in even Kansas City, you know, you get into a second and 15, a third and 11, you don't get out of it. This team, you know, they end up in second and 17s and third and 9s, and they get out of it. They can seem like they can convert a first down from just about anywhere on the field, and. I still haven't seen it. I mean, you know, this how far we are 9 games into the season, and we still haven't seen anybody figure out how to stop this offense, even slow it down. It can't. So far, it hasn't been done.
Well, and what you just said is something that I pointed out during the game. I think that it is a defensive coordinator or coach's worst nightmare to have a holding penalty called against the Chiefs, because the question is even if they don't gain any yards on the original play, do you really want to give Patrick Mahomes another down? I mean, that led to what Kelsey's big touchdown catch that he had over three Browns defenders.
That was an incredible throw, by the way. I mean, yeah, absolutely incredible throw.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a Hall of Fame throw right there.
But not only the throw, but you look at what led to that, and they had I believe it was a second and 10, and somebody got called for a hold, so it goes back to second and 20. I'm sitting there going, no, I'd give him third down and have him only have one more down to get 10 yards versus two downs to get 17. And the next play, Mahomes gets 13, and it's third and short. And you're in a worse position than you would have been if you would have declined the penalty. The way he's playing right now is just phenomenal to watch.
It is. I mean, there's some incredible throws, but he had some help too.
Absolutely.
The two screen plays, the 50 yarder to Hunt for the touchdown and the 25 yarder that converted the first down to Spencer Ware. I mean, Ware's especially, I mean, he just willed that one, to get the first down and pick that up and everything. That looked like it was just completely blown away. He runs across the field and Demetrius Harris gives him the block to free him the last few yards. That was amazing. I mean, And that's not a, that's not a throwing thing. That's just, you know, you've got a couple of guys in the backfield that just run like heck. They're oxes, they're bulls, whatever animal you want to call them back there. Those guys run hard. And I'm not sure that there's a, I'm sure somebody can come up with one. I think you'd be hard pressed to find a better running back tandem right now, as far as what those two guys can do for you, and that, as well as they're playing. Kareem Hunt, 13 touchdowns now on the season. He had such an incredible rookie campaign last year. He's already eclipsed what he did as a rookie last year in 9 games. That's ridiculous. You know what those guys are giving you in the way and where right now in the last, you know, 2 or 3 games. He's looked like the feature back that he once was. So, you know, you really have got two guys back there, a little bit different styles, which I think is a good thing to have. But, you know, right now, I mean, there's times when you got both of them. There's been a couple of times when they have put both of them on the field at the same time. And good grief, with their other weapons that they've got, that's just a complete and total mismatch for defense.
Well, and I think what the screen game showed you today and the lack of targets for Tyreek at 5, right? I think this offense is so good. They came into this with a plan that really tied one hand behind their backs. I mean, they were clearly focused on getting ball to the two guys from Cleveland in Hunt and Kelsey, and everybody else was just moving the chains, basically. And I thought, when you're throwing those kind of screens – and you're still getting 50-yard touchdowns, you're still getting those kind of plays. I mean, this is, like you said, will of the running back, but this is not trying to go out and embarrass an interim head coach or a team that is clearly mismatched.
Yeah, and I mean, they definitely obviously, you know, called off the dogs there at the end, just, you know, pounding the ball and the fourth quarter, that last drive and everything. And really, I mean, the Chiefs just offensively, they did what they needed to do and kept trying to do it as long as the Browns still had some life in them. You know, hey, good grief. You're coming down to that last drive, you know, before the Steven Nelson interception, and good grief, it's technically a 2-score game. You know, that's still doable. So, you know, you've got to continue to play like that game is not out of reach, but I'm just blown away. I'm looking at the scoreboard right now and, you know, ended up with this game, almost 31 minutes to 29 minutes possession from, you know, Vant Browns versus Chiefs, and the Browns had the ball like 18, 19 minutes in the first half. So that was just a complete and total switch in the second half, as far as, you know, the Chiefs offense being able to just take over the control, the tempo of the game and control the clock. I mean, that's huge. I mean, to be able to just to flip the switch like that and, you know, to have an offense that can do, I mean, you can go out there and you can score 3 touchdowns while only holding the ball for 11 minutes. But you can also go out there and control the ball for 18 minutes in the second half.
The thing that stands out to me is the way that Hunt's yards per carry fell from 11.7 to 5.4 overall, first half to total game, because they were just content to hand him the ball and let him get 2 or 3 yards just to eat time at the end.
Yeah, you know, he's the kind of back that can do that. I mean, he can do both. So, you know, and that's why, you know, I guess he's in there, you know, in times that, you know, Spencer Ware's not, when I think they could be giving him some rest and everything like that. But still, only 18 touches today for Hunt. So that's not an unreasonable amount of work. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier. I don't think it was necessarily their game plan, because I think the Chiefs are just going to go out there and do what they think is best. But yeah, it certainly seemed like they were trying to have a little Ohio flavor on the offense. And maybe that was just simply Hunt and Kelsey taking over the game with their just abilities and, you know, Kelsey getting open and everything and just taking advantage of the situation in front of them. But what a homecoming for those two guys. I know, you know, hearing from both of them after the game, I mean, they were really excited. They were ready for this game, and it was a big deal for them to come home and have this kind of game and this kind of win and in the middle of this kind of season.
Okay, I have to say it just because we've talked about it every single week after the games. Right now, Mahomes is on pace for 5,159 yards and 52 touchdowns on the season. That,
you know,
is still crazy.
Well, here's the thing is, what we're talking about Mahomes now, other than a straight comment about a pass or two there, and we're 18 minutes into the show. And the thing is, he just threw for 375 yards and 3 touchdowns, and we're just now really talking about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and I was wondering at the half. I mean, you know, he's got 200 yards at the half, and I was wondering, you know, hey, if you know, how many is he going to get the 300 if they, you know, come out and score in the beginning of the first half and put this thing away and then you just start salting the ball and not running it and everything like that. I do wonder, especially the second half of the season. You know, this looks like a mismatch. I mean, you've got the Chiefs coming up against some teams that aren't very good, and you got to think that, you know, hey, once the defenses are at some point, you think going to catch up with this team, but I'm not going to believe that until I see it. But you got to think they're going to have some, you know, total mismatches and blowouts in the second half. That's going to mean that they are going to run the football more, going to control the clock a little bit more, maybe not be quite as explosive. So maybe the numbers will trend down. But I mean, at this point, if they continue what they've done through the first nine games, which is you just pounce on people in the first half of games and you end up with 150, 200 yards of passing, there's times when you're just almost falling forward and you get the 300 yards passing from Mahomes.
It's pretty incredible.
And you're right. They have some interesting games coming up. They have the Cardinals, they have the Raiders twice, and they have the Seahawks. Those are games that they should win pretty easily, I would think. But you know, the big game is in 2 weeks against the Rams. And if Mahomes passes 300 yards in the Cardinals game at Arrowhead, he heads to Mexico City to take over the all-time NFL streak of, it would be the 10th game in a row that he's thrown for 300 yards. And you can't tell me that he's not going to throw for 300 yards against the Rams with the way that he's playing and with the way the Rams play. They're just going to have to throw the ball. So,
you know, and I'll tell you what, that just looking ahead and everything, hey, if both these teams continue to hold serve, good grief, that Chiefs and Rams game is going to be one of the more hyped regular season games in a long time. I mean, you want to go back, the Broncos and the Chiefs a couple of years ago when the Chiefs had that 9-0 start, they were both undefeated when they met. In week 10, this is going to be bigger than that. I mean, because at that point, remember, the Chiefs were considered a paper lion. I mean, they were considered the weakest 9-0 team ever, that some people said. And hey, we found out by the end of the season that, yeah, maybe it was that 9-0 was kind of soft. These two teams aren't soft. There's nothing soft about what the Rams and the Chiefs have done, and the rest of the league knows it. So that showdown, especially, you know, neutral field in Mexico City, good grief, it is going to be a showdown. And if you think you've seen hype, I don't think you've seen anything yet till Mahomes and the Rams get together. Dad's going to be off the charts.
Well, and I will say that's why I would sit Hitchens next week. I would even consider sitting Sammy Watkins next week. And if Justin Houston isn't 100% there, you sit him too. None of those players need to be playing against the Cardinals, because they shouldn't need any of those players to play against the Cardinals to beat the Cardinals. Let's take another quick break, and we will come back to wrap up. All right, Ryan. What did you see? What stood out to you in this game the most?
I got a couple of things about the defense, but I just want to say, as you guys were talking about that matchup, and it hit me that the NFL's in a really good position with this particular game and the way that this particular season is going, because it's an international game. And I think they've been wanting to expand, and I think this makes the Chiefs, and as much as the Rams, kind of an ambassador. And it gives them a chance to be on the international stage. And you know, the firepower that's going into that game is going to be significant. I just think that it's, you know, the NFL can just say buenas noches, mis amigos, and be happy that these two teams are playing in Mexico City to try and expand what this league's reach is.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, to me, it's going to be really interesting to see how this game plays out as far as that goes and everything. Because yeah, I mean, when you're talking about these international games, I'm really hard pressed to remember a really marquee one. Usually because they're games like this. I mean, you know, no team wants to give up a divisional game. And a lot of times they don't want to give up a conference game, because those are, you know, so important in tiebreakers. So the games that end up going overseas, a lot of times they're not divisional matchups. They're teams that are not playoff caliber sometimes. Sometimes there's one team that's really good. Yeah, I mean, everybody, they're rotating it around, so every team's going to, you know, eventually be overseas. But I don't remember a game of this import, you know, being in an international game. And we'll see. I mean, I think it would be obviously a lot more intriguing if this game were in London. But you know, you don't have the same challenges that you have with, you know, Mexico City. You know, it's not a huge time zone switch or anything like this. It's really not as, you know, as big of a flight as, you know, hey, the Chiefs have been to Boston. They're going to Seattle. Those are long long trips too. So, you know, there's not any, there shouldn't be any equalizer in that regard that, you know, the travel is going to hurt this game. I mean, it should be a well-played game. And you got two great teams. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting. I mean, this game could go a long way towards really determining, I think, you know, just where the NFL is internationally. I mean, and what this game, you know, says about the league and what kind of audience they can attract and who's coming to the game.
Well, I just want to throw this out real quick. We were recording this during the Rams-New Orleans game, and the New Orleans is up a touchdown and driving at the end of the first half, looking to score again to go up two scores on the Rams. So just want to throw that out there.
And those are, I mean, those are the two teams are going to battle it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if these two teams play again at the end of the season.
Won't shock me either. Back to this game, a couple things that stood out to me, and most of my notes as I'm looking at them here happen to be about the defense. But first and foremost, Steven Nelson is not messing around. I thought his play all day long against a combination of receivers that are either taller or better route runners and quicker out of acceleration than he is was almost perfect. He got beat deep once. He came right back and picked off a pass. So, and he baited the guy to do it. So, Matt, what's your impression of Steven? Did you talk to him in the locker room?
I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I was over there in the defensive back area and everything like that while they were talking about some things. And Ron Parker and Kendall Fuller were talking about the near interception that Fuller had. That was pretty good. But you're right. I mean, Andy Reid singled that out, you know, to say, you know, that Nelson got beat on that one deep ball and then immediately comes back with the interception. And we've seen that a couple of times with him when, you know, he's had a bad play coming back on the very next play and making a huge stop. So that's not uncommon for him. He's done it a few times now.
Well, and I said something about it during the game about how he just got beat and it's not a good look for him. And then, of course, the next play, he comes back and gets an interception, which you're right. He baited the guy into the throw. It was a fantastic play on his part. And I wasn't trying to take anything away from Nelson during the game. It was just a bad play on his part on that one specific play. He got beat. He doesn't have elite speed. So, you know, that is going to be a route that's going to give him trouble at times. I thought he played very well otherwise. The one thing that stood out to me defensively was the lack of pass rush that I thought I was expecting a bunch of sacks and there weren't.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by that too, because the offensive line of the Browns isn't that great to begin with. And then they had an injury on top of that, Harris on the left tackle. So you thought that would be an opportunity for the Chiefs to really take advantage of it. But, you know, I thought they'd have, you know, Ford working over on that left tackle, but for the most part, he was over on the other side on the right tackle. But either side, I mean, you know, Speaks on that backup left tackle, neither one of them really, you know, got anything done. I mean, the Chiefs did pick up a couple of sacks. Chris Jones just absolutely explosion off the ball, untouched through the line.
You might want to block him.
Yeah, you might want to pick him up, chip him at least a little bit, you know, do something. And I asked him after the game if, you know, the NFL rule and everything like that, you know, played into his head about the way that he went after, you know, Mayfield on that play. And he's like, yeah, you know, he's like, you want to play. But he's like, yeah, it was in the back of my mind that I got to be careful with how I bring this guy down. So that's why he just kind of, you know, hit him and didn't, you know, take him to the ground and everything like that, because he had that in his head, you know, that he doesn't want to get a penalty in that situation. And then Jordan Lucas, you know, on the safety blitz had a sack. So, you know, those were their only two sacks of the day, I believe. Would have had the third if Ford didn't get the penalty on that play. But no, I mean, even if you say that, say, hey, three sacks, I thought they would have been able to get more pressure and certainly more hits on Mayfield than they did. But I don't think it's necessarily an area of concern, because, you know, you've got Justin Houston, you think is coming back and everything. And these guys have shown a period of time, and you've got Chris Jones. And I think that's five straight games with a sack for him. So you've got some positives to pull out of that. It's not all, and it's not all negative, but I thought that they should have been more productive today.
Yep. Well, and I won't argue with that at all, but I will say this. I thought Breland Speaks took another step forward. I thought he set the edge better. I thought he came off of blocks better. I thought he played in space better. He ended up with two tackles for loss out there in coverage. And despite not getting to the quarterback, I thought for what Bob Sutton is asking him to do, I thought this was another good game for Breland Speaks' development.
Yeah, you still see some struggles. I mean, yeah, he had one play that he was trying to cover that, and especially when people get him running laterally to the outside, sometimes that's where it seems like he has some struggles. If he's attacking, I mean, if the play's in front of him or behind the line of scrimmage and everything, he seems to be able to just jump all over that, and that's a positive thing to see. But he still has some struggles. He's got some things to learn, and coverage is probably still his weakest point, and always will be. But you're right. I thought he made some progress.
Well, and his one really bad play, the Duke Johnson pass, you know, I thought it was just horrible coverage on his part and him not getting out there. But you go back and watch the replay, Landry chipped him at the very beginning. And obviously that's legal and that's fine. But that's a great play on their part. I mean, it's a great design to get that open on that short dump pass.
Yeah, the chip definitely helped on that play.
Well, I think what we can take away is that the team looked better on paper than the score. I mean, looked better on the field than the score shows on paper. Any last takeaways, Matt?
You know, I thought overall this was a fairly balanced game. Obviously, the offense carried the team more, you know, than they should have to. But second half, you know, defense did seem to pick it up a little bit. And then they certainly had some help with the offense controlling the ball a little bit more. But you had the turnovers, you had the block punt. So special teams played a role there and everything. But
right, which we hadn't even mentioned. That's huge. That was a huge play by Williams.
Yeah, that one really was the kind of the beginning of the end there. That one, you know, really, that was a point where fans started streaming out. I mean, it was really over at that point, especially when the Chiefs were able to come down and to capitalize on that.
Well, let's go real quick. Game ball.
I'm going to have to give it to Ohio's own Cleveland hometown hero, Kareem Hunt. 141 yards of offense, three touchdowns. It was his game. I mean, it was his game from beginning to end. He owned it, and it was his show, and they could not – his friends and family here could not have been happier.
Ryan?
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb just because of the uniqueness of his play today. Kendall Fuller. Stopping, taking points off of the board on these two-point conversions that Williams seems to be in love with.
I'll have to give it to Travis Kelce. I just thought he played a fantastic game. He was there for big conversions at multiple times throughout the game, and his touchdown pass – or his touchdown catch, I'm sorry, was just out of this world. Yes, Matt, you said it earlier. It was a fantastic throw by Mahomes, but – Kelce going up and getting it over three Browns defenders. There's just no way to defend that.
And once again, just because I know it's the three of us, and sometimes we do go outside the box with our selections, but it also speaks to this team and this offense. The quarterback throws for 375 and three touchdowns and doesn't get a game ball.
Yeah. But I do also want to throw out a big shout out because I think this player deserves it. He's much maligned from a lot of people. But Demetrius Harris, I thought, had two huge blocks today. He did drop a ball, and that hurts. But he did very well blocking on the Hunt screen pass and the Ware screen pass.
Yeah, those are both big plays. He had a really bad drop, but those were two huge blocks.
Well, and I will do my best to pay more attention to Pat Mahomes this week, Matt. You're absolutely right.
375, three touchdowns. We don't give him a game ball.
Well, I think to be fair, it's because you expect that from him now at this point.
Yeah, it's like only three touchdowns, Pat.
Come on.
You could have got to 30. You could have set the franchise record. No.
Well, but to be fair, now he gets to
do
go
it in
home.
Front of the home crowd next week. Exactly. There you go.
And I'll tell you this too. They put up a graphic on the broadcast. I doubt you got to see it, Matt. But when he did surpass the 25 or the 27th, only three other quarterbacks have gotten to that point at this point in the season. Manning twice and Tom Brady. I mean, this is to the point now where I can't say enough things to really explain any better than that.
No, I mean, this is historic. I mean, if he keeps this up, it's going to go down as one of the greatest seasons that a quarterback could ever have. So we're going to have to start just coming up with new language, because at this point, it's no longer just a great start to a career or a great start to a season. I mean, it's just a great season.
Well, and it will continue next week, folks. We will be back. We'll have more analysis on this as well. Start looking towards the Cardinals coming later in the week. Matt, thanks for all your time. I know it's always interesting when you're at a away game.
Absolutely. It's always great talking to you guys and catching up after the game.
Well, that's it for us today, folks. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.